James Dellingpole is a leading commentator, broadcaster and author from the UK. His newest book is called Killing the Earth to Save It. And he, in, I might say, somewhat colourful style, takes pot shots at environmentalists for a living. James, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Are Thank you for green... that fantastic introduction,
are
by
a,
the way.
Are you a green assassin? Is that Am your I, role? Well,
not an assassin. I don't do that kind of thing. I believe in gentle ribbing, nothing
no,
more.
No, you don't.
Well, I think one of the things I've noticed about the other side of the debate, and that's the kind of greenies we saw debating on that ABC programme last night, is they're sorely lacking in a sense of humour. So I think a bit of mockery sometimes puts the wind up them a bit, and I think
sure.
that's a good thing.
Okay, we could all do with a bit of a laugh, but not perhaps when the future of the planet is at stake. So to go back, in fact, to our aforementioned Rupert Murdoch, what happens if you and your mates, the climate sceptics, what happens if you're wrong?
What if we're wrong? Well, I'd like to reverse that question. And
but you will answer
what if,
it,
what
won't
if,
you?
What if you guys are wrong? What if we are destroying the global economy in the name of a problem that doesn't actually exist?
But we're not
I
destroying
see this going on.
It. We're not destroying
Well, you are, absolutely. You're certainly shackling
we,
it.
By we, of course. It's
handicapping
not, it's
it.
Not me at all.
The way that
the
green movement has hijacked the government agenda around the world. You know, you're talking about carbon taxes, mining taxes. You're talking about an attack on the most productive sector of your economy in the name of dealing with a problem which, to all intents and purposes, does not exist.
Okay, they're only paying a tax on a fraction of their profits, so it's not stopping them. It's just a greater contribution. And it's not an impost that shuts them down. It just means they have to share a little more.
What it's doing, it's killing jobs. It's making harder for entrepreneurs to make a living, which is going to bring income to families.
Harder for Gina and Clive.
I don't buy
Twiggy
in the theory that
harder
that
for them to make a living.
I don't buy
a living
by the theory
or a killing.
It's not people like Clive Palmer and Gina Reinhart. I'm feeling sorry for. It's all the people who are all the Australians who are being denied jobs as a result of the government's imposts on the mining sector. Which
and
is,
who
which
are
is,
they? Because there's 6,000 jobs unfilled at the moment in the mining sector.
Yeah.
In fact, they're talking of
your
bringing
economy.
In... hang on, let me finish. They're bringing in cheap labour from overseas to fill those. So that doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
Your economy could be doing so much better than it is if you were not shackling it with taxes, regulations, in the name of a non-existent problem. I mean, fine, if you see this as a wealth redistribution scheme, be upfront about it. Do not disguise it as a measure to help save the world from global warming, because it's not going to make any difference whatsoever.
Well, it does make a difference if we have no credibility when we go to international discussions about climate change and rising sea levels and the destruction and threat to the barrier reef, and we ourselves don't put our own house in order.
So you're doing it as a gesture, nothing more. And I don't... What's this stuff about threatened barrier reef? There's no evidence to show the barrier reef is threatened by carbon dioxide, by industry.
As water temperatures rise, the reef will die.
Yeah, so the theory goes that I hear from the junk scientists of the environmental movement. Actually, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that there isn't a problem, that the planet is warming very, very mildly, 0.8 degrees centigrade in the last 150 years. That's not a problem. And yet, constantly we hear the environmentalists exaggerating the state of the problem, trying to make out that a harmless plant food is somehow some toxic gas that needs to be regulated out of existence.
So we need to go back to where we started, and you didn't answer the question, which is what happens if you're wrong?
You're talking about the precautionary principle, aren't you? You could
well, Rupert Murdoch said famously, when in doubt, give the benefit of the doubt to the planet.
Yeah, it's about cost-benefit analysis, isn't it? And I never see a cost-benefit analysis being applied by you greenies.
Don't call me a greenie. I'm asking you questions.
If a Greens
representative comes in, I ask them in exactly the same way their questions.
You are coming out with the classic greeny nonsense.
Well, I'm coming out with questions to someone who says he has a position That's my job.
Yeah, and I'm doing my job as well. I'm telling you
that
you are talking, you are loading your questions. You're talking about the precautionary principle. You're saying that what if carbon dioxide is warming the planet at a catastrophic level, and mankind is contributing to this. You might just as well say, what if there are alien species out there hell-bent on destroying our planet? What should we do to stop them just in case they arrive? Well, maybe we should spend billions of dollars putting giant alien killers on every hillside just in case the aliens invade. Or what about asteroids? They might come from outer space and kill us all like the dinosaurs.
But asteroids are an unknown quantity. Pollution and man-made pollution on Earth today is a measurable known
threat. Are you talking about pollution or are you talking about carbon dioxide?
Well,
you're conflating separate issues.
Yeah, but
pollution is fairly well controlled. There are limits on sulfur dioxide production. Industry is much, much cleaner than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago.
In some places.
Yeah, in the Western world, you find that in places like North Korea, no, it isn't. But the fact is that in the West, we tend to be environmentally friendly without big government stepping in to regulate our business out of existence.
No, the only reason industry's cleaned up its act because it's been regulated and required to do so.
You say that, I would argue entirely differently.
What's the evidence that industry self-regulates?
Well, we can't have the evidence because, unfortunately, you greenies have created a world
Don't
in which
keep
more
saying
and more.
I'm a greenie. I'm a broadcaster asking you questions.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Good job. We have created a world in which the government is constantly expanding and regulating and over-regulating, in my book. I think we need to give business a chance and enable our kids to have a future where they not just have a clean planet, but also jobs.
James,
that would be nice.
Explain to me and show me where industry that pollutes has self-regulated and not cleaned itself up because it's been required to do so.
I think you only have to look at the examples of the last century. Compare where the worst environmental damage took place.
Are you talking Bhopal, Chernobyl?
Can you stop interrupting
me? Which ones?
Can you stop interrupting me?
Well, I'm testing what you're saying.
No,
that's
no.
My job.
Yeah. Oh, you keep saying you're a master of your craft. I was giving you some examples. Behind the Iron Curtain,
you didn't give me a single one.
You keep interrupting, mate. Give me a chance, all right? So, in the last century, okay, we get there. Places like North Korea, in China, in Chernobyl is a good example of it. The Aral Sea, the pollution of the Aral Sea, all the worst eco damage, and I'm not a fan of eco damage. I don't want the world to go to hell in a handcart. All of it took place behind the Iron Curtain. In the capitalist West, which you appear mildly to despise,
Stop personalising this childish apart from anything
else. In the capitalist West, where industry has been allowed to thrive relative to communist countries, there has been much, much less pollution, much, much less environmental damage, because even evil, cackling industrialists recognise that it is in their interest, it's in the interest of their shareholders, to show that they care about the environment.
You know, because governments in democracies have regulated industry.
You look at the way that in Canada, for example, the much maligned tar sands. You know, once they've mined the tar sands of their natural resources, they do their damnedest to restore the landscape back to its natural state. Why do they do this? So that people like you can't say, look at these evil cackling businessmen, how evil they are. They want to destroy the planet. Well, they don't. Nobody wants to destroy the planet. Not if they can help it.
Some people just want to make money, and the concern is that if they're not regulated, then their appetite for profit will exceed the capacity of the planet to heal itself.
Yeah, that's the theory. I can tell you, mate, not even Clive Palmer, not even Gina Reinhart looks at a beach and thinks, you know what would really improve that beach? If there were a nice juicy oil slick on it and maybe a sea otter slowly dying or a pelican with its wings trapped in oil. This is a completely warped view of humanity. And my problem, my big beef with the environmental movement is essentially it is larded with misanthropy. It is anti-capitalist. It is anti-growth. And I think we need to stop these people using junk science to advance what is essentially a left-wing agenda to control, to regulate, to tax and make people's lives misery, and to stop my kids and your kids getting jobs in the future.
It's an interesting debate and one that continues undoubtedly to polarise the community. I hope Australia's kind to you, James, as you visit.
Australia loves me.
I don't know.
It does anyway.
we will. Well, some people undoubtedly do wherever you go, and in no doubt your further encounters, if you can distinguish between the personal views and the professional obligations of the people asking you questions.
Oh,
I'm
mate,
sure
did I
anyone
hurt
else
you?
Interviewing,
did I
not
hurt
in
your
the
feelings?
Slightest.
I'm delighted to hear it because I've been
treated so well by
Australia.
Much more thick-skinned, perhaps, than you realise, but I'm not missing the chance to have a final shot at you.
Good bit of prickiness.
Over the inability that you seem to have to distinguish between being asked questions and attributing personal views to
and
the
person.
And
you can try and stop interrupting people's answers next time. Maybe we can teach each other a lesson, eh?
Not getting answers do I interrupt people to try to get the answers, and I've been doing that consistently, and
good
I'm not
on
about
you.
To change.
You're a real pro. Well done.
Thank you, James.
That's all right. My
lovely
pleasure.
Lovely to meet you, and do enjoy your visit to Melbourne. Yep. James Dellingpole. His book is called Killing the Earth to Save It, and he is a guest here in Melbourne of the IPA, the Institute of Public Affairs.